Northern Ireland on the cusp of a new chapter in its political history. That was the headline of an article in the Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano recently, just days ahead of a crucial vote in the Northern Ireland Assembly over the transfer of policing and criminal justice powers from London to Belfast. On Tuesday, Republican and Unionist lawmakers voted in favour of this latest decisive step on the road to full devolution of power to the Northern Ireland Assembly, a process which began with the so-called Good Friday Agreement back in 1998. The vote now opens the way for a full transfer of powers on April the 12th this year, a move that is strongly supported by the British, Irish and American governments. Among those who hailed this vote as a watershed in the history of the Northern Ireland peace process is Paul Goggins, a member of the British Parliament and Minister of State for Northern Ireland. Last week he was here in Rome talking with top Vatican officials to bring them up to date on this final stage of the devolution process. In between meetings, he found time to drop into our studios and tell us more about his hopes for the future of the country and the role of the church in the ongoing process of reconciliation between divided communities.
The British government has always appreciated the interest and support of the Vatican in the pursuit of peace in Northern Ireland. This goes back over many, many years. And the Vatican and the Pope himself has always been outspoken in affirming the peace process and indeed in speaking out when there is violence and conflict. And even as recently as a year ago, the Pope made clear his views about the attacks on the police officer and the soldiers who were murdered just a year ago. Therefore, we felt it was important to come back and update senior people in the Vatican about the progress that's been made on the political front, particularly over recent months, and some of the things that may happen in the very near future. So it's really by way of an update to a very long-term partner and supporter of the peace process in Northern Ireland.
You mentioned those attacks a year ago. They were seen as quite a serious setback, and yet you're quite optimistic at the moment, aren't you?
I am optimistic about the politics in Northern Ireland because we've come a long way in recent years. When I was last here, we were preparing for the possibility of the first stage of devolution. That happened in May 2007, and we now stand ready in the coming days and weeks to complete devolution and to hand over the powers of policing and also over the criminal justice system. This will be an enormous step, really the final piece in the jigsaw. But there is still a group of people, a small group of people in Northern Ireland who don't share that peaceful vision, that political progress. They want to undermine it by continuing to attack, particularly police officers. So a year ago, we witnessed those three murders of the soldiers and the police officer. More recently, there was a car bomb attack in Newry. In the new year, there was an attack on a police officer with an undercar booby trap, which very, very badly injured the officer. He's still alive, but very badly hurt. So we know that the intent is still there from this small minority of people. We have to take that seriously. But I think the overall message from Northern Ireland is that politics is working, politics is winning, and is giving the people there real hope for the future.
Talking about the political process, why is, first of all, this handover of police and justice so crucial? You call it the last part of the puzzle.
It was always seen as the most challenging bit of devolution. It was challenging enough to get to a point where the local politicians would take on responsibility for hospitals, for schools, and for all the other aspects of public service and public administration. But to take over responsibility for the criminal law, for the wider criminal justice system, for the police service, this was a very big step. And of course, people from the unionist community asked some very hard questions of people from the Republican community about how serious they were in their support of the police. And those questions have been answered over recent years. Sinn Féin have signed up to full support for policing. They sit on the policing board. They're now fully part of government. And indeed, whenever there is an attack on a police officer or any other attack, they are straight out to condemn and to appeal to people to come forward. So we now have a situation where there's confidence in policing right across the community. And it's because of that that both the main parties have now reached an agreement to move forward to the completion of devolution.
You say you're confident and optimistic, and yet it was just a few weeks ago in January that the British and the Irish prime ministers had to step in at the last moment to save the breakdown of talks between Sinn Féin and the unionists. Yeah, isn't it a bit early for this optimism?
There was a real logjam in the Assembly. because Sinn Féin wanted to press ahead with the devolution of policing and justice powers, and the unionists, the Democratic Unionist Party, who are the main unionist party, were reluctant. And there was a real sense that we'd got to an impasse, and the British Prime Minister and the Irish Taoiseach came in jointly to Northern Ireland and said, we really have to thrash this out. We have to reach an agreement so that we can get government working again. And what followed was 10 days and 10 long nights of negotiation, which I was personally involved in, the outcome of which was an agreement between the two main parties, supported by the governments. And since then, a considerable amount of work has gone on to work through the consequences of that agreement. I suppose my optimism about Northern Ireland is rooted in my experience now over nearly 4 years as a minister there, that things can and do always go wrong. But in the end, the politics are made to work. And that's why I remain optimistic that people will not let this opportunity pass by. They will grasp it and they will move on to the next stage.
What about the difficulties presented by the annual parades? They continue to be a contentious issue, don't they, year in, year out?
Well, there are thousands of parades in Northern Ireland every year, and most of them are not contentious. Most of them pass off peacefully. But a small number are still contentious, particularly where the Orange Order want to parade through an area which is seen as a nationalist area. And there are tensions when that happens. And it's clear to us that there has to be a better way, a more sustainable way of trying to resolve these tensions. We've had the Parades Commission over recent years, and it's done an excellent job in resolving most of these difficulties. But there are still a number of parades that are outstanding. And what the parties agreed at Hillsborough in the talks that we had earlier in the year was to try and find a new way of bringing communities together, getting mediation, getting a solution, and finding a new system for resolving any outstanding disputes. And it's very much in the hands now of the local parties to work this through so that we have a new system. But it is quite clear that we have to diffuse that tension around those few parades that are still contentious, because there's always the possibility of violence. There's always the possibility of community breakdown around those parades. And everybody wants to see a peaceful solution. The good thing now is that rather than central government imposing a solution, the parties themselves are in discussion and negotiation about a different way of doing it. And a homegrown solution, of course, is always the best.
You're talking about the vital role of the church in this work of reconciliation within the communities. That continues, doesn't it? Although, albeit a very different role from the one it played during the Troubles.
The role of the church is of enormous importance. We had the funeral in January of Cardinal Cahill Daly, a man who was loved by the people of Northern Ireland, but a man who, diminutive in physical stature, stood up against the men of violence through the years that he led the church in Northern Ireland. And his leadership is deeply appreciated even today. But at his funeral were people from all the Christian denominations because they recognised that they needed to speak and act together with one voice. And that happens today. A year ago, when the attacks on the soldiers and the police officer took place, there was a pastoral letter which was written by all the main church leaders that was read out in all the churches right across Northern Ireland, the same letter in every church. And I think that is the spirit now in which the churches operate. Need to break down barriers and work together. And I think also the words of encouragement which the church leaders give to the politicians to keep on with the process, to keep moving forwards, are really valued by the politicians there, and I think have a real influence for the better in Northern Ireland.
What kind of projects, have you seen any grassroots work that really is making a difference across the divided communities?
There is a very rich and vibrant voluntary sector in Northern Ireland, many projects which are church-based, reaching out to people in need right across the community. I think, though, we all recognise that there is a need to do more to bring communities together. Whilst we've been through the peace process, people have handed over their weapons. We now have a political settlement, which hopefully will mean the completion of devolution. But to actually transform communities, to change the mindset, to move on from sectarian divide to a unified society, that's a task that will take many, many more years. And so civil society, the churches, all aspects of society need to engage in that task in a more vigorous way, perhaps, even than they've been able to in the past. That will really cement the social cohesion which society needs.
What about the problems of investment in Northern Ireland?
It's a very important question. Of course, we've been through this terrible economic downturn, which has been a global phenomenon. So every country across the world has faced difficult questions in relation to public finances, investment and so on. But there are huge opportunities ahead for Northern Ireland if they get this right and if they show that they're up for self-governance in a responsible way. We've had the promise from Hillary Clinton of an investment conference later in the year in the United States, where senior investors will gather together to talk about how they can help to put the investment in that will bring the economic benefits for the long term in Northern Ireland. There are so many willing people across the globe who want to help Northern Ireland and who are prepared to invest there. But of course, they're also business people, and they're not going to invest in a place that's riven with conflict and violence. So they have to have that real sense of confidence that the politicians are taking control and that the peace is something that's sustainable and long-lasting. But I think that friendship that Northern Ireland has in America and elsewhere will bear real fruit across the months to come and indeed in the years to come.
Thanks there to Paul Goggins, Britain's Minister of State for Northern Ireland.